Good morning, everyone.
Hey, turn in your bulletins, if you would, and just open them up. If you are with us for the first time this morning, as you open up that bulletin, you'll notice that the far right panel connection card with the easy button, that's a place for you just to fill out your information and to share a little bit with us so we can share with you and just welcome you and pray that the presence of the Lord is great with you today. And you'll notice on the inside a little diagram there, Forward in Discipleship. We are taking this year to look at what it is to really make Jesus the center of our parenting, our family, our work, all that we are. And there are really four things that we see in the scripture that we want to be doing all the time. And as we do them, we always keep Christ the center of our lives. We want to be worshiping faithfully, loving biblically, serving joyfully, and leading wisely. You'll see there are two kind of hallmarks, two outcomes that we can measure, real simple thoughts. There's certainly a lot more to those thoughts, but you know, today we're going to start on worshiping faithfully, and we want to be able to celebrate when we're growing in personal time and focus with God, and when we're growing in our corporate time with God. When those things are growing in our lives, we know that Jesus is going to be more of the center of our lives, and we're going to take the next 4 weeks to look at that together, and I'll be sharing a little bit more of that. But we really want this year for our entire church to not become a church of attenders or consumers or fans or even members. We want every church member, we want to become a church full of disciples where Jesus is the center. So part of how we're doing that is you'll notice below that diagram, we're actually taking all of our pastors and we're aligning them to the discipleship priorities of the church. And that is our way to make sure that our church is always focused in discipleship. And so you'll see leading wisely. I happen to be the lead pastor, so I'll take that one. Pastor Rowena really follows that priority of serving joyfully. So she's ministries and missions. Her job is basically to make sure that you have a chance to serve and are trained well in serving, and then that's a joy to serve because you're serving the way God meant for you to serve. We've asked Pastor Jason to be in charge of discipleship, and we were going to call him the love pastor, but that seemed a little iffy, so we went discipleship pastor. And I'm not sure if his wife would like that title, so... So we've asked Pastor Brandon to, as worship pastor, to guide us in the priority of worship. And he led us in a time of prayer for this last week between all of us in worship. And so we've got our shirts on as worship advocates, people who are calling others to worship. And this month has been Pastor Appreciation Month. And we really don't make a big deal of it here because just as a congregation, people are always appreciative. And I think love's always flowing well between us. And people are always kind and thoughtful about to us as pastors. But I did want to take a moment to ask each of the pastors to stand. I don't know if we just lost Pastor Travis. Did we lose Pastor Travis? Okay, we'll get him next service. Pastor Brandon, if you want to come up. But I just want us to take a moment to pray and bless our pastors. And especially as they hear this call to Heather, he is not an official pastor, so don't get confused in this moment. But I just want to take a moment to bless them. We're so blessed as a church family with the pastors that we have. And in this season of discipleship, they're going to begin to really look over these priorities for us. So I'm just going to ask if someone's nearby, one of the pastors, if you would join over and place a hand of blessing on them this morning. And then we're just going to take a moment to pray for them and ask God's blessing on them as we've kind of, the church in general takes time to focus on blessing. Maybe a few of you can come up here with Pastor Brandon. We're just going to take a moment to pray. Lord, we thank you for our whole church family. And Lord, we know every day is a day to celebrate parents, school teachers, business people, Father, those who are serving at home, in offices. Lord, we just know that in all ways that, Father, it's a joy to serve and that there's not one calling more sacred than another. But Lord, we also know that you give the gift of pastor to the church so that, Father, all the other places can be blessed and serve with joy and lead wisely. And Lord, we just take a moment to thank you for Brandon and Hannah, for Haiti and Jason, for Rowena and Miles, for Travis and Brittany. We thank you, Father, for the gifts that you've given us. And we just ask that they would be blessed this year, that as they serve, there would be a mighty anointing on them. And then as a church family, we would reflect your joy and gratefulness and graciousness. Lord, we ask that you watch over their families in times when it's often difficult to know how to manage so much and to care for so many. But Lord, we know in all things that, Father, you, Lord, are gracious and loving. And we just pray, especially as each of the pastors takes on these discipleship priorities, that, Father, you would especially anoint them for this season, that they would have skill, and that, Lord, it would be a joy to be part of this church family because, Lord, these pastors are with your anointing and with your power, leading us in keeping Christ as the center of our lives, especially when we're tempted and confused to do otherwise. Father, we just ask now that, Lord, you would continue to be with us as a church family, that, Lord, every member, every, Lord, person who serves would be appreciated and loved. And, Lord, we want to enter into this time of worship with a special gratefulness in our hearts for all that you've given us. We choose to worship you. We love you. And thank you for the love of this family that you've brought us into. In Christ's name we pray, and everyone said, amen.
Our loving pastor is sacrificing prayer for himself as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift that you've given us in Sean. We thank you for the gift that Sarah is to us as well and their family, Lord. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the way they lay down their lives for us day in and day out, and that all of our pastors do, Father, that they're willing to make the sacrifice to answer the call that you have upon their lives. And I thank you, Father, as they just give out of their love for you and for us, Father. I thank you for pouring back into their lives exceedingly abundantly above all they could ever ask or hope or think for. I thank you, Father, for guarding and protecting them. I thank you, Father, for equipping them for the call that you've placed upon their lives. And Father, as they hunger and thirst after you, I thank you, Father, for going before them and leading them into the paths of righteousness for your name's sake, that we might be a church that honors and glorifies you and uplifts the name of Jesus in everything we say and do. That your light will shine forth from us, not because we're special, but because of your love for each of us and for the leadership that our pastors are providing for us. And we just give you thanksgiving and praise, Father, for these gifts in Jesus' name.
Amen. Would you stand with us? We're going to just continue to worship this morning as we prepare our hearts for the word.
It's the most trying thing in our lives. Guard the hardest relationship, the hardest circumstance. God, the season that we're in that we want to leave. God, if we want to say, here, your love endures. Here, you're my hope, and you're my peace, and you're my rest. Here in this place, Lord, I will worship you, my Savior. Can you just say that to him this morning? Can you lift that to him and allow that place, that relationship, that circumstance or season to be a season and a place of worship in your life?
I
hardest thing, Lord, I surrender it.
Father, we just ask right now that, Father, truly our hearts and all that we are would be surrendered and bowed down to you. And Father, as we make that place for you, as we put you in the center, we would ask, Father, that, Lord, peace would flow, healing would flow. Father, grace and mercy would flow. Father, would you, by the work of your Spirit, even now, as we just bow before you and as we yield to you, bend to you. Would you, Lord, come and touch heavy hearts, Lord, families who have been healing, marriages, Father, that are hoping. Father, would you touch bodies that need such a touch from you, and we're so frail and we're so broken, and Lord, this physical body is so frustrating as we go through life, but we just ask, Lord, that even now the work of your Holy Spirit and healing would be released among the people who are here. Father, we pray that you would speak clarity and understanding in places that are stressed out and confused and filled with our own thoughts and preoccupied with our own stresses. Would you rise above those things as we surrender to you and with everything we are bow to you this day. Father, we worship you, and we ask that by your Spirit we do it even more. And Lord, in your sanctuary, in your house, would Lord, we begin to see our life the right way. Not by the world, not by news reports, not by financial numbers, not by personalities and attitudes, but by your eternal call and love in our lives. We just ask as we open up your word this morning that we would come to worship you even more. We praise your name and ask for you to continue to fill us with a heart of worship this morning. Christ's name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. I'm going to ask the ushers to prepare for offering, and if you would, fill out that connection card, and if you haven't already, and if there's any prayer, we should let the boys and girls go to Sunday school class. Choir, thanks for holding up for that. And if you are with us for the first time, feel free to walk your child to Sunday school, nursery, any of the children's ministries this morning. If you'd prepare for tithes and offerings this morning, if you're with us for the first time, there's no need to give unless the Lord leads you to do so. We just, this is for our church family as we continue to honor the Lord together. We're going to be in Psalm 95. And as we take this offering, if you would put your connection card in there for your visitor information or just your prayer requests for this week. Praise your names. Let everybody get ready for those two gifts of worship, our prayer requests, as well as our tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you just come to the front of the aisle, please? Let's ask God's blessing in our giving. Father, as we give our prayer requests, our decisions for discipleship this morning, Lord, as we continue to just be filled with your Spirit and guided by your word. We're so hungry to see you in the scripture today, God, and hear directly from your words. Father, we just ask that you would bless us, that you would continue to provide for the needs, Lord, of your gospel and your kingdom across the world through our giving for our church home and our community. Lord, we ask that these prayer requests and the ways we get to share love and prayer with one another, Lord, would be a blessing to every soul here. And we, Father, just commit it to you. In Christ's name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Ushers, thank you. Psalm 95. You'll see on the front of your bulletin the discipleship logo of the church, the big C with the center with the cross, and then the two ripple effects, if you would, the two bands going forth. That center is worshiping faithfully. We can't really have Jesus at the center of our lives if we're not worshiping faithfully. I would say probably one of the biggest misconceptions in our relationship with God is actually worship. You know, I think we live in a day where it's kind of socially acceptable to say, I'll pray for you, and when I have a problem, I'll pray about it. But I think we miss that it's actually worship that gets us to the answers that God wants us to have. And that's not to discount the role of prayer, but it really is in worship when we come to see him for who he is, and when we come to see life the way he sees it, and we hear his voice, and we feel his presence, and we sense his direction, and we're filled with the Spirit. That's when we get all of our answers in life. How many times have you and I really, in a defeated, complaining, half-hearted, not really connected, you know, time, just kind of half prayed about something and felt no better about it? But then came to a moment when we finally got into the presence of God and began to lift our heart and lift who we are before him, and all of a sudden, then we got answers. You know, in 2 weeks, I'm going to go over the Lord's Prayer, and what's the first line? Our Father who art in heaven, what first? Hallowed be thy name. The first step in even proper prayer, when we start to ask him to forgive us of our trespasses, to provide for our daily bread, what's the first thing we're supposed to do? Worship him. And we've really grown to a culture. I put that USA article on our Facebook page about, you know, cultural Christianity is dying in America, but true Christianity is actually growing stronger and more vibrant. You know, we have this kind of socially acceptable Christianity where, oh yeah, I'll pray for you and I'll think about that. But one of the scriptures that I've got on the front of your notes is John 4:23, where Jesus says, you know who God's looking for? He's looking for worshipers. He's looking for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And I don't know what your picture of worship is. If you were gonna write down in that box on that front page, if you were gonna write down the first three words that came to your mind when you thought of worship, just think about them right now. I mean, you literally can write them down. But if you thought of worship, what are the first three words that come to mind for you? Hey, you guys are so participatory. I love it. I've got a few right here. All right? I think, first of all, a lot of us think music. You know, we're in the middle of, I think, worship, so I think of music. Then maybe this next picture. You know, we think of this worship setting, and we're in the middle of this great crowd. So we think church service. And then, you know, it's funny. When I Googled worship and got all the images, this is the one, next one came up more than this one. I mean, I can't tell you how many different pictures of this are in Google, you know, in the web sphere. It's amazing. And that's good. The Bible tells us to lift up our hands, and that's definitely a biblical form of worship. But, you know, the scripture really talking about worship is so much more than any of those things. And when worship gets right in our lives, not because we're fixing it in us, but when we begin to understand God in it, Jesus really becomes the center of our lives. And so I want us to read Psalm 95. It is one of the true classic texts on worship. And it starts out, Psalm 95, verse 1. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hand formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did in Massa in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, there are people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on my oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. This is the Lord's word. May it add his blessing to it. If you look on the next page, I really debated whether I was going to throw some Greek and Hebrew notes at you, because sometimes it's like, oh, Lord, please spare us. But I thought it was important. You'll see under what is worship, the Hebrew word for worship in Psalm 95:6, it's translated worship 99 times in the Old Testament to bow down or to bow 49 times. But the real definition of that word is to bow or bend oneself before one who is greater. When Jesus says that God's looking for worshipers who will worship in spirit and truth, he uses the Greek equivalent to that Hebrew. And I'm not going to attempt to pronounce them so I don't butcher them for those of you who actually know how they're pronounced. But that word means to worship, but it's actually a combination of two words, the word towards and the word to kiss. And really what it means is to cast oneself on the ground in respect before a greater one, kissing his feet. I mean, that's that whole picture. You'll notice the paragraph I just threw in there. The simple translation to worship may obscure the fact that a specific posture is meant here too. Both the Hebrew and the corresponding Greek verb are to be understood in the physical sense of bending or bowing as a gesture of awe and surrender to God. When in Psalm 95, verse 6, it says to bow down, let us bow down in worship, it's really saying it twice. Let's bow down and bow down. Because it's trying to emphasize the whole idea that when we come into the presence of God, what is greater causes us to bend and bow down and honor it. Now, I want to give you the clearest Bible definition I've heard of worship. And then I want to give you a picture of it, because I think you'll remember the picture more. But the Bible's definition, a simple way to say it is this, and I'll try to say it a few times. Three things: to seek, know, and reflect. To seek, know, and reflect. Worship. To seek, know, and reflect the ultimate greatness and worth of God. To seek, to know, reflect the ultimate greatness and worth of God. You know, sometimes to worship is to choose to seek. You know, you chose to seek God this morning, and you may have not felt like it. You know, you might have had a great Saturday and got to do a bunch of things outside and had a great time with family, and you're probably wiped out this morning. But you still make a choice, and part of your worship is just to choose to seek him and seek his greatness, even if you're not necessarily feeling it or even if you're not understanding it. But the idea is not just to seek, but then to know it. And we're going to talk about different ways you know it this morning. But there is this sense that someone hasn't told you. You know, you come into a worship service, and what do? Half the time, if you're really honest, kind of looking around like, who else is, you know, is someone else getting into it right now, kind of, we think. And it's just like, you know, that's nice if they're experiencing it, but real worship is for you to experience it. And then for you to experience it so much that you begin to reflect it. That the greatness of God somehow, that what he is and what he's doing in your life, it begins to change the way you do something. That's the idea of what real worship is. When we bow down and when something in our life bends and we don't do things the way we were because we've sought, we've encountered, and we've begin to be changed by the presence of God. Now, you notice I said the word ultimate greatness. You know, in Psalm 95, verse 3, it says, "For the Lord is the great God," so he's great. But then the next line, "the great king above all gods." What happens in worship is we come to know that there's nothing greater or more valuable than him. And we begin to be changed by that. And you may come in this morning and you have a great sense of the pressure at your job. Or you have a great sense of the stress of what you're going through in life. Or you have a great concern about a loved one. Or a great need to be filled. But when you get into the presence of God, you realize that is not as great as he is. And because you realize that, you get filled with hope. And you have peace. And you have a sense of his direction, his idea. So many times when we are confused about the direction of life, it's not that we don't know the right information. It's we're confused about what the greatest thing in that decision is. But when we begin to look at God and realize his ultimate greatness, everything begins to reflect that. Now, I want to give you a really simple phrase, a way it looks, because I found myself saying this over and over this week as I've been preparing for about 2 weeks for this message in a very focused way. To worship God is to bend to his greatness. To bend to his greatness. Just a picture, and I'm going to give you a few thoughts about that. You know, if this word means to bend or to bow. You know, I remember when I was growing up, some of you have met my grandmother, and she was Miss Miracle. You know, I mean, just wherever we went, God was telling her to do something, and it always worked out. I mean, I remember walking in the middle of the mall, and Grandma would see some kind of biker guy with thousands of piercings and everything, and everybody's thinking, like, stay away from that guy. And Grandma would be like, "I think we need to go pray for that guy right now." I'd be like, "No, Grandma, please." You know, and it turns out we'd go over, and not only would the guy be like, you know, sure, but then somehow my grandmother would know his grandmother, and he'd end up coming to Christ and crying like a little girl in the middle of the mall. I'd be like, I mean, it just always happened. And, you know, one of the things I remember being confronted about with my grandmother's spirituality was I could tell moments when she wanted to bring God into the conversation or God into what we're doing, and the resistance I had, like, I didn't want to bend that way right then. It's like, God, Grandma, come on, I'm at the mall to, you know, go get that or buy that. I don't want to bend and change what this is about to something that God wants right now. You ever been in the middle of a conversation? Sometimes I can tell it as a pastor, you know, I'll talk to you and I'll be like, "Well, let's pray." You know, you're like, "Okay, Pastor Sean, we'll pray. That's what you do," you know, and so we pray. But what's going on in that moment? It's like, I don't know that I really want to pray right now. You know, I kind of want to still be obsessive about what I'm worried about. Or I still am trying to work out the 5 different logical ways to make that decision. But you want me to stop being logical and just pray to God right now. What is that? But it's a moment where you've got to choose whether you want to bend or not. Do I want to bend to God's way and what's going on? We were in the middle of, we had Sunday morning last week with Dr. Self. And then we're getting ready. We had a great morning, and Sunday night was coming, and we had a great Sunday night. And going into Monday's prayer, I was really, really busy. And Dr. Self had challenged us to pray for somebody, to pray to make a friend for Christ, and to begin to pray for our neighbors. And I was so busy, and I was trying to get to church a little early for the nighttime prayer. And I was pulling out my driveway, and 2 doors down, I see my my neighbor, who I prayed for in Sunday morning service, walk into her house, so I know she's there. And as I'm pulling out, I just felt like the Lord said, "Sean, why don't you stop and just let her know you prayed for her this Sunday?" And I guess she knows I'm a pastor. I don't know that we've ever talked about specifically. But, and I was like, "Oh, come on, God, I'm supposed to meet with you in about an hour," and I'm, that's kind of how I was. And God's like, and it was just, it really was, "Would you just bend a little bit?" So I pulled over the car, and I got out, and I walked all the way to the door, and, you know, I was like, you know, and she came on out, and I was like, "Hey, how are you doing? Good, you know." I said, "Hey, by the way, I just want to let you know, we were in church on Sunday, and I said, you know, we were led to pray for a neighbor, and I just was praying for you and your husband, and, you know, we know their kids and stuff. And I just said, you know, we think you're great people, and we just God put you on our heart, and I just want to let you know we're praying for you." And you could tell she was a little like, "Oh, thanks," you know. And then she said, well, you know, and then she said this, well, you know what to pray for? Pray for da 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 da. And then she shared a pretty personal prayer request. I said, hey, I will. And, you know, I said, maybe we talk about it later. And she said, yeah. I said, and she, you know, I could tell she was, I said, hey, I just want to let you know I'll be praying. Maybe we'll talk later. And she's great. And she went back in, and I got here and met with God at the right time. And, you know, it was good. But that moment's worship, because to worship is to bend. God, I want to do this. But God calls me and say, you know, Sean, just bend a little, would you? Would you just bend a little bit and do it my way? And I've over and over this week just heard that in my heart. I'd be in the middle of something. I just, God, help me bend right now. The middle of taking care of my kids or family time the way I want it or don't want it. Help me to bend. The scripture here shows us different things that have to bend in us, and it's really important. These are the ways how we worship God. First of all, we worship with our will. With our will. You know, we make a choice. That's where we choose to seek. We choose to know him. We choose to reflect him. You know, look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, come, let us bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Those are all choices. We have to choose to come. It doesn't say, feel your way to the God your Maker. It says, come, make a choice. It says, bow down. That's a choice. I don't have to do that. It says, kneel. I don't have to do that. Those are things I choose. You know, so often we'll come to a service. We don't necessarily feel like it, but we know we should. And it's like, you know, I'm just going to make a decision with my will to come. I'm going to make a decision to honor him, to bend someplace in my life. Sunday night, we were in the middle of our service. We had a really great altar time. And there was a lady who visited for the first time, and later on she shared a big story of life and where she was at, and she had actually been really hurt in church a long time ago, and we were in the middle of the altar call, and she decided, she made a choice of her will. I'm sure it was the most comfortable thing, but she said, you know, I'm going to go up, and she came up to the front, and she just, you know, she was real quiet, you know. Being spiritual doesn't mean you're a giant extrovert and killer. I mean, spirituality is not a personality. It's a sincerity. And she came up, she was just sincere. You know, just before the Lord, we were singing in worship, we were praying, and I was going around, and we were taking some time to pray, and try to be real sensitive to that. I just felt led to go pray for her. And you know, while we were up there, she was just kind of quiet, and I just started praying for her, and I just prayed, Lord, you know, show her who you are. I didn't know any of her story. And then the Lord showed me, I said, you know, I just told her, I said, hey, you know, I just feel like the Lord's showing me this. You tell me, you know, you've got to say if this is right or not. But I just feel like the Lord's showing me that someone you really loved and trusted in the past really hurt you. And tonight, God wants to speak words of love that will reverse the effect of what that happened. And boy, she just started bawling. And all of a sudden, there was just this breakthrough in her heart because she had made a choice to come and know and to seek God and to hear from him. And then the Lord answered. And then all of a sudden, she knew it, and she started to reflect it. You know, obviously, we live in a world that says, feel your way into a decision. And, you know, the scripture says, decide your way into a feeling. And so we have to decide to seek God. So we do it with our will. Number two, we do it with our emotions. You know, if you look at the verses here, there are some wonderful words that are all about heart and emotion. It says, let us sing for joy. Let us shout aloud. There's the issue of giving thanks, making music. These are all things. Remembering that he cares for us, that we have a shepherd who cares for us. These are all things that touch our heart. And I know that so often we are on guard for emotionalism. But the truth is, healthy decisions balanced with the others we're going to talk about. Emotions are a wonderful thing that get refreshed in the presence of God. It's his peace. In his presence, we have peace, we have joy, we have wisdom, we have thanksgiving and love. All those things happen. And, you know, while we can't depend on our feelings all the time, we need to come expecting that as we lift up how we feel and as we begin to say, Lord, I want to love you with all that I am. That part of our worship is with our emotions. And we live in such a hard world where emotionally we are banged around so badly. When we talk about being a healing center or a healing community or Christ bringing healing, I tell you, one of the places of healing in our lives is worship, where it just kind of hits the reboot button on some of our emotions and begins to refresh us again. The third is your mind. Listen to all the language that talks about thinking and reasoning. We worship what bends our will, our emotions, and our mind. Verse 3 says, why should we come and sing and worship and give thanks? The word for, because. Well, let's think about it. God is great. He is the great king. You know, why does verse 4 and 5 there? Because in that day and age, everybody thought there was a God for the mountains and the sea and the plains. And so what does the psalmist do? He says, look, he's the God up top. He's the God on the bottom. He's God far away. He's God near. He's thinking through all the ways that God is great. When he thinks about listening to his voice, when we remember that not only is he a great God, but verse 6, he's our God, verse 7, and we think about how he cares for us, when we choose to listen to his voice and think about what he's saying to us, those are all part of worship. And those are the things that bend in us. And then the last one, number 4, our actions. Verse 1, we do something with our mouth. Verse 6, we do something with our body. Verse 7 through 9, we make physical decisions about what we should be about. When we talk about worshiping God, we're not talking about music. We're not talking about a church service. We're not talking about one expression. We're talking about a life that bends to God, just all the time. Sometimes it's my emotions that bend. I make decisions in my will. You know, I'm going to do that. I think through and my mind begins to, you know, to choose to bend my thoughts. Well, I don't think that could ever work that way. God, if I go talk to that person, we already know what's going to happen. How many times have you not witnessed because you had the conversation in your head before you ever talked to them, and by the time you finished the conversation in your head, you already decided they didn't want to hear from you? So what you did, you took your thoughts instead of bending them, and God's saying, you know what? I know what you think. Just go do it anyway. You didn't bend with your thoughts. You didn't worship him with your reasoning. All these are different ways, and really the ultimate picture of this, I'll give you one more picture, is I don't know if you've ever seen, Antique Roadshow, the guy who brings, you know, that thing that you're like found in his garage, you know, in Aunt Betty's garage, you know, behind lots of junk, and comes, I mean, don't we all wish that would happen to us? You know, find that one precious thing, like a family heirloom. Let's say it's a ring, and you know, that person brings the ring to the appraiser and says, you know, I found this family heirloom. We've had it for you know, decades. I just wonder what it was worth. How great is this thing? And the person, you know, gets their official eye thingy in and looks at it and begins to say things we don't understand. Because all we're listening for is the dollar sign at the end of it. We don't care about the refraction of light or the, you know, just tell me how much it's worth. And all of a sudden, let's say he starts looking at it, all of a sudden, he stops and the eye thing, he comes up and he gets up. He comes back, he says, you're not going to, this right here, they stopped doing this, you know, so many years ago, and this is one of a kind, and this is worth, you know, whatever price tag you want to put on that at this point in your mind and your story. And all of a sudden, what happened that moment? That appraiser and then you, all of a sudden, you were changed by what you found out. That thing that you already have is worth. You've already had it. You've had it for a really long time, but you never realized how much it was worth. But all of a sudden, when your mind begins to understand what it's worth and you've made a choice to discover what it's worth, and all of a sudden, you know, your emotions start changing, and you realize what? I am not living according to what I have. Man, I go out, buy that car. Go out, help, you know, cousin so-and-so with that thing they've been, you know, time to change the house. You know, why? Because all of a sudden you realize the ultimate greatness of what you've always had. And so many people live their Christian life like that person with the family heirloom, and they've got no clue what it's worth. But when I discover the ultimate greatness and worth of God, it changes everything. I feel differently. I think differently. I make decisions differently. Why? Because I have something I didn't realize I had. And that changes everything. You know, in pop Christianity of our day, it's all about, well, do you believe? What do you think? Do you agree with? But the Bible says a Christian is a worshiper, someone who understands the value of the God they have. I would say that you can't talk about worship any other way than saying that's the only type of relationship you can have with the true and living God. It is. What's your relationship with God? I worship him. Because he's so great. He's so valuable. He's so worth. So why? Why do we worship God? Most of you know the answer already. Because right now you're worshiping something. Right now, it's not, you never come into Sunday morning and decide if you're going to worship. You're already worshiping. It's just a matter of what. You have an eternal divine sense of needing something greater in your life. You never have to go to church to feel that. Why do you want 15 minutes of fame? Because something in you wants more than what you've got. You are made to worship. You have an innate sense of greatness in you. You need something greater than you in your life. Biblical worship is not to choose to worship. Biblical worship is to choose to worship God. This psalmist comes in and says, in a way, let's choose to worship God. And he starts to think about it. For he's the great God. He's greater than all gods. For we are the people of his pasture. He begins to recognize that I've got to worship. I've got to change my worship from that other thing to God. Why do we worship? Because everybody worships something. And to worship God is the only thing that will bring life and peace and wholeness. You know, I talked about that idea of bending. Do you realize right now you're worshiping something in your life? What you trust in the most is what you worship. It describes your relationship to what you trust the most. What you trust the most is what you worship. And right now, your entire life and mine is bending around that thing. My health bends around that thing. My finances bend around that thing. My family bends around that. Because whatever I trust in the most, whatever I worship, I will do everything to make sure everything else fits around that thing. And the Bible says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us choose him. The Bible will say it this way. Your ultimate problem or your ultimate answer in life is what you're worshiping. Whatever you worship is either your ultimate problem or your ultimate answer. If you worship the true and living God, then you've got your ultimate answer. If you worship anything he's created, which is everything else outside of him, then it's your ultimate problem. How many times, marriage, parenting, job, addictions, health, working through lifestyles and choices, wisdom, friendships, relationships, it's all dictated by what we worship. What we worship is the only thing that will heal us. And if we choose God, then we've got a chance at real healing. If we choose anything else, that's not going to go well. So a few thoughts about how does this change the way we live? How do we worship faithfully? Number one, I would say this. We don't live to believe in God, but to bow to God. God, I don't want to just believe in you this week. I want to bend to you this week. I want to bow to you in what I do. I was talking with a friend who was just complaining about quote-unquote Christian businessmen. He's like, you know, they really bug me. So you know all those Christian businessmen who, once you get down to the almighty dollar or it really gets down, you know, they, like, all of a sudden the Christian part goes away. And it's like, look, you know, there's, you know, I forget who said it, you know, Christian as an adjective is a really bad idea. You know, it's like the Bible never uses it that way. It's like you either are one and everything you do emanates from that, but you don't just slap a Christian title next to your music, your work, your whatever. And the whole idea that, you know, God, I don't want to just believe in you as I go do whatever I want. It's God, I want to bend to you in worship. Number two, I might make up a word here, so this could be exciting. Okay? How does this change how we live? Two, you don't need more blessings. I'm not going to make up a word. You need more bending. You don't need more blessings. You need more bending. You know, God has already, through Christ, purchased you peace, joy, love, significance, worthiness, satisfaction. I mean, any word you want that if you put in the biblical context. Jesus has already done all that you need. What you need to do is bend towards that. But why don't you? Well, I don't think that's the right way, God. You know, Dr. Self said last week, God does everything backwards. He dies for us, he offers us covenant, and then he says, by the way, would you love me back? You know, he doesn't wait for you to love him before he loves you and does all that's required for a relationship. You and I, our struggle in life is not, God, would you please, could I just wring out of you just one more blessing, like I wring out a washcloth and just try to, you know, could I just have a little bit more blessing in my life, God, please? You know, it's just, no. He's done all that. You can't be more blessed than what Jesus has done for you. The only thing you can do is bend more to those blessings. Bend more to that. That's worship. Number three, I think this is where I make up the word. Yes. Okay. Here's an interesting idea about how to live out your faith. Don't ask God for more boldness. Ask God for more bendedness. Bendedness. That's my word for the day. You know, true boldness is not when I feel greater than the people around me so I can go do that. True boldness is when I feel the greatness of God calling me to do that. It doesn't matter how big the other person is. Socially, financially, whatever. You know, I remember, there's so many stories I could tell there, but I just think it's that idea of, Lord, I don't want to be more bold for you. I just want to be more bended to you. If I just worship you more, not in ritual, not in being mechanical, but in a sense of, Lord, I bow to your greatness. I choose to seek to know and reflect your ultimate greatness. If I do that, Father, I'll just reflect it. When I was in high school, I was a very shy kid. But I tell you what, when 10th, 11th, 12th grade, when God really got a hold of my life, I won people to Christ at my public high school, and I was in the middle of some really amazing witnessing moments that I could never believe that I would be a part. But it was just, I was just so bending towards God, I just did things I was scared to death to do otherwise. It's just how it was. I really didn't think about it. I just reflected it. And number four, say a simple prayer this week. Lord, help me bend. Just say it over and over again. God, help me bend to what you want today. You know, I've said it over and over. Sometimes it's your schedule. I'm so busy. You know, it's like, but you need some time with the Lord. Lord, help me to bend my schedule. Just help me to bend. Sometimes at work, lunch break, right? You know, I could take some time to read the word then. I could do my prayer then. Yeah, but I'm tired. Just bend a little. Serve your neighbor. Yeah, you know, God, I really got to get to church. Just bend a few minutes, Sean, would you? Come to the altar. You know, I talk with my kids about, you know, during the moment of prayer, I got this crazy idea. Actually pray. Well, I don't know, it's Dad, you know, there's nobody else prays. Just bend a little. Bend that school day just a little bit. You know, my favorite to tell students in your essays that you have to write about your life experience, talk about God. Bend that essay. Bend it towards him. Bend your project towards him. Why not? I tell you stories, but we won't. In your emotions, bend them towards God. Sing in the Spirit. Choose to read, choose to write, choose to paint, to express, to dance in your actions. We bow down, we pray, we tithe, we obey, we serve, we read. We, you know, it's a relationship. It's always dynamic. With your will, Psalm 42, why so downcast, all my soul? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. Lord, bend this weekend in my plans towards you. One day, I heard one pastor say that all worship is preparation for the great corporate worship that we see in Revelations 7:9. Every tongue, every tribe, every race, every language before the throne worshiping God. We get to practice. We get to begin to do that. I love John 4 where we got that verse from the woman at the well. Boy, she wasn't even looking. But Jesus began to lead her at worship in the middle of her identity. She didn't have a great past. She didn't have a great present, but she began to bend towards God till it reflected and the whole village came to know Christ. I'm just going to invite the worship team up. And as we begin this series and we take these next few weeks to begin to say, Lord, I want to seek, I want to know, and I want to reflect your greatness. Help me bend. I know right now there will even be needs on your heart, and I would say, just bend. Bend to the Lord, and you'll find the answers. They're already there. Probably the biggest question I get is, well, you know, I'm not a big singer, I'm not a big worshiper, quote unquote. We're all worshipers. But what I would say is this, if you don't know where to begin, look at the cross. Remember the cross and what Christ paid for you. If you don't know where else to begin worship, begin there. And you'll find your way. I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're just going to do that for a few minutes. We're just going to take some time to bend and bow. As we do that, this altar will be open, and you might just want to, like that woman last week, she just came forward and said, yeah, I'm just going to take some time and make a choice of my will to bow before God. Lord, you said in your word that the Father is looking for those who will worship in spirit and in truth. And Lord, I ask right now that as we take these few moments in worship, that it won't be a musical moment, but it'll be a worship moment. Help us be like that jeweler. Help us to begin to examine your worth and your greatness. Help us to be like the psalmist who would say, remember, think about who he is and worship him. And Father, I pray as we worship that chains would be broken and that people in the prisons of their own emotions or minds or fears or past, Lord, that they would be set free. Lord, guide us in this time. Cause us to fix our will and all that we are in you. We come to bow down. We come to bend. We come to be transformed. In Christ's name we pray, amen. I'm going to ask the men first. Just feel like the Lord was saying, begin now. If it's in your heart to bend to me tomorrow in the middle of work at home, then begin now. I'm going to make an invitation to the men first specifically. That with some of you in this moment, as we begin this next song, would you, if your heart is to bend tomorrow and to bend at work and bend in your family, would the Lord lead you this morning to come up and just for a very simple moment, just to bend down and say, Lord, I begin now. And I'm just, as we begin to worship, I'm just going to invite the men first. I just feel like I just want to specifically call out to them and we just love you, God. We want to begin now. Lord, we just want to begin now, God. Obviously, whatever physical ability you have, you can just come and sit on the front row if that's more comfortable or is what you're able. And Father, we just take that moment. We just really simply We just choose now. We choose to bend now. Praise your name. I'm just going to ask Pastor Brandon if you could lead us and turn your eyes to Jesus. If you could just do that for us in this moment. Let's just make this our prayer. Just invite the ladies to either be seated in a bowing posture, to kneel where you are. Would you be welcomed into this choice? And Father, I just pray as parents, as spouses, as co-workers, as family members, Father, would the bowing and bending to you begin today. Thank you, Father, for what you have revealed in our hearts. And Lord, as we bend, may the Holy Spirit come in what we have blocked in the past. May it come through and reach those we love and even our own heart. Father, with our will, with our emotions, with our mind, with our actions, we worship you. Look upon us in this moment. In all of these ways, bending and bowing, worshiping you and asking that we would become those who worship you faithfully this week with a song in our heart, with the Spirit overflowing, with you as what we look to and see as great. May we bend in all we do this week. Father, we do these things remembering the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. May Jesus be the center of all you do. As the Lord dismisses you, go in peace and encourage those around you.